Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. And tonight, I'd like to do something that I've never, ever done before on this program and introduce you to just one of my friends. His name is Larry, and I'd like you to get to know him, or at least know about him. Let's admit it, we all need friends. And there are so many examples of that truth in Scripture. When you look at Jesus, he knew exactly who his friends were, who he could turn to when he went through that Gethsemane season, knowing that he could say, "Watch and pray with me," to the inner circle that was Peter, James, and John. And then we look at Paul, the apostle. Sometimes I think we can view him as a stoic individual who really didn't need the warmth of relationships. But that is absolutely untrue. Writing to young Timothy, he gave a report about his friendships, both the joys and disappointments. He uses words like these: "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me." He described Luke as his dear friends, and in fact, 27 times in his letters, he talks about beloved friends. 5 times he names specific people as his dear friends. Surely in our culture, there's an unresolved hunger for true friendship, because I think we all know that those dozens, hundreds, or even thousands of people on Facebook are not actually our friends. When we look at some of the old TV shows like Cheers and Neighbours and Coronation Street, they all focus around community, friendship, relationships. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, "What is life if we have not life together?" Friendship, it's the stuff of life. It's not an optional extra. We're even told that we will be healthier, live longer, if we're actually engaged in friendship. And so with all of that in mind, tonight, let me introduce you to my friend Larry. We're talking about friendship in general, and I'm celebrating my friend Larry in particular. Larry used to be my hairdresser back in the wonderful days when I actually had hair. He would do a fine job with my copious mop, but sadly, the passing of time meant that the mop became a stranded peninsula atop my scalp, and what used to look like the state of Texas up there resembled then the Isle of Wight. I purchased some clippers and told my friend Larry that I no longer had enough hair to warrant his hairdressing services. But I'd still see Larry at church, and whenever I spot him, I'm reminded that he's been one of the primary reasons for the growth of our congregation. Larry has spent his life cutting hair for a living, but he lived to get alongside people and befriend them, share Jesus with them. Hairdressers can make great evangelists, not only because they have a captive audience in the chair, but with all that scissor waving, they're actually armed. And Larry has always been more than talk. Living alone, he would usually spend his evenings in the bars and cafes near his salon. He had countless friends who knew full well that he loves God and loves them. It was over 3 decades ago that Larry met Nikki, a brilliant, beautiful law student. Nikki was paying her way through college by working evenings at a stripper at a local club, and she would go to Larry to get her hair done. Mid-haircut, Larry chatted with Nikki about Jesus and then invited her to church. It's been said that we make decisions about people within the first 30 seconds of meeting them. Larry impressed Nikki. Many men ogled her, but Larry saw her. And so the following Sunday, she showed up and decided to follow Jesus. In the week that followed, she read the entire New Testament. Nikki soon realized that most Christians don't remove their clothes for a living, so she quit her job but invited her fellow former employees from the club to attend her baptism. A good number came, but they didn't dress for church. Burly security guards wore donkey jackets with the name of the strip club emblazoned on their backs, and the dancers dressed in, well, not too much. As they walked down the center aisle and planted themselves in the front pew, some of our church ladies were seen covering their husbands' eyes. A good number of the club workers decided to follow in Nicky's footsteps that day, so now we had a gaggle of utterly unchurched new converts to disciple, which was beautiful, but not without its challenges. Our church grew from a few hundred to a few thousand in the years that followed, but we didn't have a strategic plan for expansion or even an eye on bigger numbers. Larry was surely the catalyst for the mushrooming growth that followed. These days, decades later, Nicky is still following Jesus. And Larry has spent his recent years, even in his 70s, now 80s, cutting hair, inviting people to church, and viewing the downtown area of our city as his parish. He told me a few months ago that he'd taken a trip out of town and decided to treat himself to dinner at a rather posh and expensive steakhouse. As he walked in, he smiled at a family that was dining there and was surprised when the young mother came over to his table, gave him a hug and told him that she and her husband wanted to buy his dinner. They'd never met before. They were total strangers. But she said she believed that he was a man who loved people and that they'd felt that love just when he entered the restaurant. That first impression was powerful. Later, Larry told me, them paying for my dinner was amazing, but even more so was them feeling the love for others that God has placed in my heart. We live in a world that usually seems too busy to notice and too self-obsessed to care. We can all hurtle through life, heads down, phone focused, indifferent to those around us. But we can turn heads and even hearts by giving attention to the first impressions that we make. And a word of kindness, a helping hand, or even just a smile can have such an impact. Larry, such a great example of that truth. I'm sharing about a great friend, Larry. Perhaps these words are familiar. Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. So wrote A.A. Milne in his poem, Halfway Down. Recently, I've found myself reflecting on those words when I show up for church. It's because that's where I've always found my friend Larry. He's been parked in his usual place, halfway down the stairs in the entrance foyer of our church. He would be standing there, though, not sitting, because he's been a man on a mission. Larry has been rather good with Missions Impossible, embracing challenges both large and small in his life. And so he parks himself on the landing, halfway down those stairs, because he's on the lookout. He scans the teeming crowd of gathering worshippers, searching for the people that he's been inviting to come to church during the week. And then there are the new Christians that he's informally discipling, folks that he wants to make sure he greets, others he's on the lookout for to sit next to because they're alone, or just encourage because he knows that they've been through a rough season. I mentioned Larry having some challenges, and he hasn't had the benefit of a smooth-running life. Navigating divorced, he spent a number of years living in his hairdressing salon because he couldn't afford a business and a house. But he has no time for looking back and, for that matter, endlessly looking forward. He's always been someone committed to a laugh-out-loud attitude towards each new day that comes, living in the here and now, soaking up the gravy from the plate of each moment. And that means, for him, giving rather than grabbing. This caring people watcher could have been forgiven for wanting his own space at the weekends, seeing as he's been spending his days chatting with one client after another, attending to their hair. But often, I'll find him sitting in two services, singing the same songs, listening to the same repeated message, because from his stairway vantage point, he's spotted somebody in need of company. Years ago, Led Zeppelin sang about a lady who was buying a stairway to heaven. But those who follow Jesus know too well that all the trillions in the world wouldn't buy a stairway to that place. Instead, the way has been made open by the Jesus who came down, down and down again, navigating the inexplicable gap between the throne of heaven and the manger of Bethlehem, opening the way for us by grace alone. That same Jesus went on the lookout, looking for unlikely people like Peter and John, outcasts like Zacchaeus, and people who felt their souls were terminally stained like that woman at the well. And so I'm glad to celebrate Larry and many like him because they live life on the lookout, scanning the crowd for someone who needs a smile. Back to A.A. Milne. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where I always stop. I'm glad Larry's been doing that for years, stopping, sitting, looking. Well, I've been introducing you to my friend Larry, and the truth is, over the years that I've known him, he's never failed to encourage me, and I've consistently discovered the impact that he's made in our city of Fort Collins in Colorado. Eating in a local restaurant just a few nights ago, one of the servers came over to the table and we started to talk about Larry, and she gave him the ultimate accolade, saying, "I'd like to live just like him." A most recent conversation included him wanting to take my wife and I out for happy hour, two hamburgers for just $19, he said. "It's not going to be an expensive evening," he said, "but hey, I'm just a poor barber." It turns out that he wasn't quite so poor, but I'm not talking about finances. You see, I'm celebrating Larry tonight because of something that happened just a couple of weeks ago. Larry loved fishing and he decided to take him off for a day at the lake. The alarm went out when he didn't return home. Through social media and a call at our church, a massive pleach search was coordinated and hundreds joined in the search for him. And for a number of days, there was no response. Finally, after 4 or 5 days, his body was recovered from the lake. He must have fallen over while fishing and he drowned. But his passing revealed the extent of his true riches, and not because they found a will that revealed that he'd secretly hoarded millions. You see, hundreds volunteered in the search. And in the memorial service that I attended just a couple of weeks ago, hundreds and hundreds of people attended. You see, my friend Larry, he was rich because he was a friend to so many. And he was rich because he loved God with all his heart and passed that love around. And our city, our church, and my life, we're all poorer for his passing. But I'm so glad I celebrate the truth of my friend Larry. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.